morning, everybody. I'd like to dedicate today's shiur to the memory of Leah Gittin, just before we begin, I just want to point out why I'm here. It's a bit of a scary proposition to stand in Rabbi Silver's footsteps. Rabbi Silver was my principal in school. I didn't in any way try to compete. In fact, I'm not sure if you know how Rabbi Silver ended up in Beit Shemesh. I once heard that he's he wasn't sure. He came to check out an apartment. Whilst he's standing in the street, somebody is jogging past him, headphones, and he stops. He looks at the right floor and he says, "Hey, wow, I'm listening to you." I took that as a sermon in Hashemayim. I'm supposed to be here. Now, after I heard that story, I must be honest, a month or two later, I flew to England, and I almost had the same story, but not quite. So I was on the plane. I'm just walking through the aisle on the way to wash my hands, and somebody looks at me and says, "Oh, I'm just busy listening to you on Tide Away, I think it's shit." So, I've become like Rabbi Silver. The difference is, on my way back from washing my hands, I saw him and was fast asleep. So,
and the accent is
different.
The accent is different. You wouldn't apply to stay
in the hair for anything, no? This is not a competition. Shemar and Silver should be back healthy and well.
Amen.
And you can teach. To many who enjoy hearing his words. I must be honest, as a matter of principle, I'm in Kailu, I have a Kailu Baruch Hashem, and I never leave in the room of Kailu with my neighbor to give a share during the morning hours. Sometimes, I think we all agree we're not in normal times, and in extraordinary times and extraordinary measures need to be taken. I think we all need chizuk and to get chizuk and hear chizuk, and that's why it's a privilege to be here today. I also do want to point out, I know my dear friend Ron Welling said that people very generously contribute towards the share. I've stipulated quite clearly that Ron Welling is not one to be paid at all. It's not a business or money making enterprise. If anybody wants to donate, then I'll be made pass all the money onto our shul. And next week we're actually having a campaign to build up the Beit Sarim. If anybody wants to be involved, just do this. Initially, when Rabbi asked me to say the shir, he told me it was a parasha shir. Much has changed. The world has changed since we spoke. And I think you cannot ignore, must not ignore, the call of the hour. And we're all trying to grapple with the tragedy that has hit us. Unfathomable, unspeakable tragedy. And first and foremost, we just need chizuk. It's still so fresh, it's so raw, and so painful. And then, the next stage sets in, which I'm working on, what can we learn? How can we change? How can we ensure that this is indeed a life-changing event? The Gerer Rebbe, the great Gerer Rebbe, the Imrei Emes, the Rebbe who came towards the end of his life to Eretz Yisrael after the war. Gerer Rebbe, 10th. Thousands, hundreds of thousands of Talmidim and Hasidim and Hasidus ruled. Most of his family were wiped out. And most of his children and grandchildren had perished, and he did. He had one grandson, Reb Noach, Yuskevich, who survived. And after the Rebbe came to Eretz Yisrael, his grandson, Reb Noach, made his way to Eretz Yisrael as well, once again to be reunited with his grandfather. And as you can imagine, it was a very emotional meeting. He had no idea that he'd survive, but he had. as you can imagine, during the war years and the Gehenna they had to endure, you all know the Gera Chassidim, they wear a whole Gera in Bush, a whole garb. That wasn't obviously possible in most of the war years. But now he was back in Eretz Yisrael and he was looking once again, fully fledged Gera Chassid. He walks into the Rebbe, to his illustrious Rebbe. Says, Rebbe, I'm here, I've survived. Very emotional reunion. The Rebbe looked at him and said, ah, you haven't changed at all. Baruch Hashem. The grandson came out after the meeting, he burst into tears. Someone asked him, why are you crying? He said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put me through Gehenna on this world, and the Rebbe said to me, you haven't changed at all. That's what I want to hear, that I haven't changed at all. How many times have we heard, at least I heard, during the ups and downs of Corona, that, oh, Baruch Hashem, it looks like things are slowly getting back to normal. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned the world upside down, that things should just get back to normal. So why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring this about in the first place? So that Baruch Hu should look at us and say, ah, you haven't changed? And maybe there was this feeling, and in the difficult moments, on Friday afternoon, I spoke to Meirov, and Rob and many of the people sitting there at Kornfeld, and he said this was his feeling too. Coming out of Corona, perhaps that was this feeling of complacency, everything is back to normal. Everything is back to normal. So Meirov, which Baruch gave us a very painful reminder, things are not back to normal, and should never get back to normal. When we hear of a life-changing event, such as the one that we are grappling with now, I want to share with you one single word, really as an introduction from the Rambam. Because the Rambam writes that when a tragedy befalls the world, one has to be chayzer b'tshuva. And if one is not chayzer b'tshuva, one is described as... Now, which word would you have chosen? If you would have asked me, I would say, it's not chayzer b'tshuva, life's a tragedy. It means he's a rasha, he doesn't believe in hashkacha pratis, and the Rambam doesn't say that. The Rambam says he is an achzori. Achzori means he's a cruel person. Why is he a cruel person? He didn't bring about this in pain, he didn't inflict the suffering. Why is he considered a cruel person? And the answer is, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought about suffering for us to learn from and for us to change. That was the purpose. And if you don't change, then that person suffers for no purpose at all, and you are the one who ensured that his death or his pain had no purpose. There is no cruel thing. There is no more cruel thing than that. The cruelty is not the inflicting of the pain. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought that about. But by not changing, by not being chayzer b'tshuva, then I am ensuring that that person endured suffering for no purpose. For no purpose. That's the achzorius. That's the achzorius. And that, therefore, is now the call of the hour. Make sure that 45 people did not pass away without a purpose. The horror is very busy at the moment. Extremely busy. He's working 24/7. The Yitzhahara will do absolutely anything to make sure that we're not crazy with children. And first and foremost, the way the Yitzhahara does this, we try to distance ourselves. We try to distance ourselves. When Corona erupted, you'll excuse me, but there was a certain sense of calmness because it's not here, it's in Italy and it's in China, it's Eretz Yisrael that doesn't affect us. And then suddenly it did arrive in Eretz Yisrael, and then there was this feeling again amongst people of my age and younger, but no, it only applies to people who are older. and then they heard it was younger people. No, there's only those who have medical complications, and then suddenly it was younger people without medical complications. Our very own schools were closed down, not by government authorities, but by our bond. Our bond closed the schools. I personally closed our school in Gimli. I had to sign last year on the fierce hummus of the school. We didn't sell the hummus, we sold the school because it was out of use. And all of a sudden, the Yitzhar was trying to distance us. It doesn't affect us. It's not so relevant to me. And then it became very, very relevant. Why does the Yitzhar do this? Because we all like to remain in our comfort zone. And the closer to home it is, the more we have to make changes, whether physical or spiritual. We never like to make changes. I'd rather believe that it's somewhere in a province in China, at least it's nothing to do with me. Great Mashkiach, the Chaskel Levenstein, Mashkiach of the Mir Yeshiva, was once in a cab here in Eretz Yisrael. The driver of the cab was an irreligious person, and he gets talking to the Mashkiach, and he says to me, I want to tell you an amazing story that I saw with my own very eyes. He says, I was in the army here in Israel, together with a friend of mine, and one night out there in the fields, all of a sudden in the middle of the night, I hear screaming from my close friend and comrades, and I woke up and I see that a snake had completely enwrapped his body and was squeezing all of the life force out of him. And he and I thought that that was surely the end. And he screamed with all his might, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And at that very moment, inexplicably, the snake just released its grip and slithered away. And he survived miraculously. And his driver tells the Mashiach, and he says, my friend was so moved. My friend was so shaken up that on the spot, he took a decision he's going to be Chayzer B'Tshuva. And until this very day, he's a Shomer Torah Mitzvah, all because of that event with the snake. So Mashiach said to him, Ma'itcha, so what's with you? And the driver said to him, Harav, do you understand the story? He said, it happened to my friend, not to me. A frightening story, but the reason why it's frightening, because to a certain sense, We're all that kind of thing. It's here, it's there. When I heard the news Friday morning, in the middle of the night, the first words it said it was in Tchum, the area designated to fill was Aaron Hasidim. My first thought, which was a mistake, was fill was Aaron Hasidim. I didn't know him told us Aaron Hasidim. Of course, that was the Yitzhara already getting in, and I thought, so we can distance it. It's tragic, but it doesn't. Until I got a call on Friday from one of the Gaboyim in Kupushal Sokka in Maguma, where I lived, who was starting a campaign of somebody in Wall Street who was killed. I'll send you a picture. I turned on my computer, and there I see somebody who's been in my house 50 times in Shilas. Somebody had an ongoing question. And then in the morning I get a phone call. Rav, you have to come quick. Somebody in your kehillah who's broken, shattered. His nephew was killed, Bacha here in Nachas Rek. In our kehillah, eh? 10 minutes before the shir, I left our kehillah, one of the kehillah members sitting on this shir itself. My friend was one of the brothers. What do I see? This is relevant to all of us. Whether you've been told the siren or don't told the siren, I don't think anybody can really say that they don't know somebody who doesn't know somebody who is connected. So we don't want to be that cab driver. Rav, it didn't happen to me, it happened to my friend. But it happened in front of your eyes. And you saw it. It didn't happen to me, it happened to my friend. So he's the one who has to do changes, and I can happily live the life of the Chiloni. We moved from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sometimes what happens in situations like this, and most of the people here, maybe all of you, are older than me, more experienced, and have seen this more often than me, you're going to panic me. That's it. You're right. I have to react. And my reaction is, from now on, I'm going to be very careful. I'm not going to go to the coastal when it's full. And if I see buses that are full, that's my cabal. I'm not going to go on those buses. That may well be a necessary precaution. But that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. 45 families are now sitting shivers that we should make a decision not to go on buses. And there was another Yitzhar. As I mentioned, Yitzhar is very, very busy now. Yitzhar gets us busy with, one second, how did it happen? How did it start? So who's responsible? Well, they did close it, they didn't open it, will be next year. Why is that relevant to our Avodah Hashem? Why is that relevant? If you are a member of our Torah, or member of the peace force in Meron, then maybe that's your Avodah Hashem. To make a cheshbon ha-nefesh, what went wrong, how can we change it? But nobody here is. On Friday night, my wife and I went to visit this family in our Kehillah. Shattered, broken, they just lost their nephew. He's just got up from Shiva. The young man himself, his mother passed away last week. And he says to me, the great Rabbi Tamila, Zechasavik Lebroch in America, a giant of the Eved Hashem, a son of his brought his own son, meaning Rabbi Miller's grandson, on a trip to Eretz Yisrael. And tragedy struck. The grandson was killed in a car accident, and now it's the job of the father to tell his own father of the tragedy. And he says to Rabbi Miller, his illustrious father, this is unfortunately, I have to tell you terrible news. His son was killed. Rabbi Miller stops him. Baruch Dayan or MS, he says, I'm covered with Zayir. He says, do me a favor, don't tell me the details. It's not relevant to me. That's a God will be Yisrael. We're not all on that level. And it might well be that others maybe would have looked at it differently. Maybe I do need to hear details, maybe to be Nesoyer of the Tshuva. But Rabbi Miller fell, but it's not Negev to him. It's not relevant to him. We had somebody in our Kehillah, tragically, 6 months ago. They lost a young child. On Shabbos morning, I was called out. Ambulances, police at the whole Balagan on the street there in Rav Gimel. They shipped off this baby on Shabbos morning. It was not good. I get a knock on the door Shabbos afternoon, you've got to come. The news has just come through. The baby did not fall through. I didn't obviously tell the Kehillah on Shabbos, but on Motzei Shabbos I announced it. I'm not criticizing this person. We're all guilty of this. But somebody came up to me then and said, I saw all the ambulances. So when did the baby die? What, did they get to us at the end or they didn't? So the baby wasn't. Yeah, but what happened? Did they treat the baby or have? I said, the baby is no longer with us. Why is this relevant to your Avodas Hashem? Why is it Negeya? And I'm not criticizing this person because the Yetzer of horror got in with him. Because we get busy with that. The when, the who, the what, the why. Why does the Yetzer want us to get busy with that? Because then we leave the main stuff. Which is as the Rambam says, don't be an achzori. And if we now get busy with the who's and what's, and I need to see the latest poll and survey and opinion and picture and video, then we can be the achzori chasashim. And people pass away for no purpose. Other than, did the police cause it? Did our solar cause it? Did this one cause it? That's not relevant to our decision. That's not relevant to our decision. So we all know, and I'm sure you've all heard, and we will hear, that yes, we have to make changes. We shouldn't be busy now with decisions, should I get on a bus or not get on a bus? We should not be busy now with all the details which are not relevant to us. But I think there's something else that we have to be careful and steer clear for. We might, for example, all of a sudden get an email today, a text. That's it, and that's tragedy. Let's all light candles 10 minutes earlier with Shabbos. What a tremendous boost that would be. So, Makabel Shabbos early is a wonderful thing. There's no question about it. Don't let somebody else tell you where you need to be chayzer b'tshuva. If in your home, Shabbos is a mad frenzy, as you get to Avlokas Neiris, and there's always pressure and tension, and the kids are running around with the grandchildren, and it's always the last minute, and so then maybe, from Kabbalah, Shabbos 10 minutes early, which is not easy, might be a tremendous physical. But if it's not, if you know that in your home, Baruch Hashem, things are calm, and you get ready for Shabbos early, and there's no question of Chas V'Shalom getting anywhere close to the Machal Shabbos, then what a wasted opportunity it is to say, I heard in Hashira that we have to be Makabel a Kabbalah. Well, I'm doing 10 minutes early. Why? Because I got an email from somebody who said you should do so. And as far as I was concerned, again, these people passed away for no purpose. Shabbos is come in my home anyway. So how did this bring about a change? If our Rabbonim, if Gedolim and Yisrael point to something individual, this is an area in which we should be Makabel Chizuk, that's a different story. But even then, it's not at the expense of what do I need to be mischazik in. In addition to that, in more general terms, I'm sure we'll hear, and we have heard from Gedolim Yisrael, who have taught us, and I was told on Friday morning in the name of a Kanyevsky Shlita, listen, this happened in the Mokrim Tzila, as people were davening, after Chatzos HaLaila, which is a very auspicious time for davening, so certainly one needs to be mischazik in Tzila. That's a very general concept in our shul in Gimel. We've already introduced a number of Kabbalists in Tefillah. But I have stressed, and I will stress in our Kira, that should not be at the expense, only in addition to our own personal chizuk. Our own personal chizuk. So maybe, let me share with you a thought, which is based on this parasha. It's the parasha share after all. It's also a very general idea that I think is very topical and is very relevant, and I think we would all do well to try and internalize this and see if we can personalize this and adapt this to our own needs in being mischazik in our avodah zarah. Because in this week's parasha, we find the parasha of Shmita and Yovel. You count 7 years, there's a Shmita. And then the Torah says, the Sefarta, count 49 years and you'll get to the 50th. And the 50th is the Yovel. Shabbos is also every seventh day. You don't have to count the days. There's no mitzvah to count Sunday and count Monday. Why is there a mitzvah to count towards the label? You mark it up in your calendar. 50 is a very easy number to remember. Every 50 years is the label. So you can sit down, mark up on your calendar, and we'll know now for the next 1,000 years when the next 20 years are. Why must you count year 1, year 2, year 3? What's the purpose of this count? Moreover, what actually happens in the day? In Yovel, everything stops. Any property you've ever bought, it all goes back to the original owner. If you ever bought a field, it all goes back to the original owner. If you bought a vineyard, it all goes back. If you bought an eved, a slave, it all goes back. What is this trying to teach us? What is this? I bought a field, a slave, a house with hard-earned money. Why must I give it back after 50 years? And maybe, just one further question. Do you know what the mitzvah is in Yovel? The Torah says, you blow a shofar. It's the only time in the Torah, besides Rosh Hashanah, that you blow a shofar. Why do we blow the shofar in Yovel? Why do we blow the shofar in Yovel? These are three questions that need to be understood. Why the count? 50 is an easy enough number to mark off. Why must we count? And why does everything go back? Fields, the vineyards, the property, the slaves, and what's this meaning of the sheep? What's this meaning of the sheep? I think there is a tremendous lesson to be learned over here generally, and then perhaps specifically the times that we live in now. An American journalist, best part of 100 years ago, heard that there was a Jew in Rabin, Rabbi Yisrael Meir HaKohen, great Chofetz Chaim, and he heard so much about it. The leader of world Jewry, thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of Yidden. This was their undisputed leader. He was dispatched by his newspaper in America to go to Rabin to visit the Chofetz Chaim. So he went to visit the Chofetz Chaim on this journalism mission, and he was expecting, of course, the leader of world Jewry must be living in a mansion and a palace, as we all know the Chofetz Chaim lived in anything but a mansion and a palace. And he comes in and he couldn't believe his eyes. Barely a table, a rickety chair, no fancy schmancy dormant in the home, what's going on with him? He said to the Chofetz Chaim, he said, I don't understand, where's your furniture? Where's your furniture? Are you doing decorations or something? Where's your furniture? Chofetz Chaim says to him, where's yours? Mine? I'm just on a journey. I don't live here. I'm just here temporarily. He says, that's my answer. I'm also just on a journey. I'm on a visit. We all know this. But the Chofetz Chaim lives in the story. Chofetz Chaim lived the story. Rav Dessler, his whole life, never bought a property. He only lived in a rented property, so I don't want to feel permanent. Well, Aryeh Levin, the great God of Yisrael, the father-in-law of the Yashid, the friend of the Brach, was once in a cab. And we're getting towards the end of the journey, and the driver says to him, tell me, Echo HaBayit Shel Harav. He said to him, where's the home of the Rav? And Rav Levin didn't answer. Right, the driver thought, he's elderly, he doesn't hear properly, he's engaged in something else, said a bit louder, Echo HaBayit Shel Harav. No answer. He didn't know where to stop. He said, Harav, Echo HaTagar, where do you live? Where do I live? I live over here. It's not my bayit. I don't have a bayit. Home, upstairs is home. And the Mishnah says that this world is a proisner, is an antechamber, is a corridor, that's not a sand dump. That's the way, that's how Shtoffer, the Gedolim Yisrael, lived by. Why don't I have furniture? For the exact same reason as you don't have furniture. You're on a short-term visit. I'm on a short-term visit as well. Let's come back to Yehuda. A strange pasuk. Listen very carefully to this pasuk. The pasuk in Yehuda says, the ha'aretz and the land lois in mocher l'tzmisos, which means it will never be sold forever. You cannot sell land forever, as we mentioned after Yovel. It all goes back. Now here come the strange words. Ki li ha'aretz, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the land is mine. You're not in charge. Ki geirim v'toshovim atem imotim. What's a geir? A geir is somebody who sojourns, who visits. And what's a toshov? A resident. So that possibly makes no sense. How can you say to Kalal Yisrael, Geirim v'teishavim, you are sojourners and residents atem imodi with me. So which one is it? Are you sojourners? Are you visitors here? Or are you residents here? Says the Ramban, and this is the Yisoid. Put the comma in a different place in that posuk, and it will read differently, and it will read as follows. Ki ni ha'aretz, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the land is mine, ki geirim, comma, you are visitors. And if you live like that, then v'teshovim atem imodi, then you will be permanent residents with me in Olam HaBa. Not that you are geirim v'teshovim at the same time. If you live a life as geirim, and understand that that is the yesod of Yovel, that everything is temporary, comma, then teshavim, then you will be zeicha to be permanent residents at an imodi with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Olam HaBa. The yesod of Yovel is to remind us that we're here on a temporary visit. Like the Chofetz Chaim says, I don't have furniture for the simple reason because I'm on a visit. And if I'm on a visit, I'm on a short-term journey, I don't bring my furniture with me. When I go on a short-term trip, there's no reason to bring my furniture with me. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you can wheel and deal, and you can buy and sell, but it all goes back. It's all temporary, and do you know when it goes back? How long does a person live? We know that Olam Melech said, the average lifespan, 70 years a person has, that is metaphoric. People live the Ezra Sashem, Abmeir Be'estrim Shonah. Metaphorically, the lifespan is 70 years. But until a person is 20, Chazal tell us he's not accountable for his Averus. So essentially, metaphorically, a person is here on this world for a 50-year visit. From 20 to 70. The 50 years of the Yovel are representative of our short visits here on Olam Hazeh. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, once you finish your 50 years, it all goes back. You can buy, and you can deal, and you can invest, and you can be very busy. But Kili Kol Ha'aretz, it's all mine, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're just temporary visitors. Remember, live the life of Geyim or sojourners. That way, one day, you'll be a permanent resident. But not here. Because at the end of your metaphoric 50 years, it all goes back. Nothing can be sold permanent because nothing is permanent. We ask, what's the purpose of this sphere? Why must we count? This is a count there. I once heard from Abzaid Lev, I'm sure you've all heard and heard of, in his own inimitable style, he brought out this point in very sharp, difficult to hear way, but listen to the way he presented it. He spoke about the young couple, the young mother's in hospital childbirth, and she's just given birth. The doctor inspects the baby, and the doctor comes up to the parents and says, I need to tell you, your child is suffering in difficult condition. The parents are shocked. Really, really difficult? So difficult, there is no known cure for this condition. There is no known cure. In fact, history and statistics have shown that any person who has this condition guaranteed not to survive. Guaranteed. So to doctor, tell us, what is this condition? It's called life. That's what it is. The clock starts ticking now. We're all in the days of Spheres HaEmor where we're counting every day, but how many times have we heard? Not so important to count every day, just make sure that every day counts. That is the sphere of Yovel. Don't just mark off on your calendar. 50 years is something in the future. The countdown starts now. And if we live like that, we live a life of, I know I'm here on a temporary basis. I know it's all not permanent. It all goes back. The count starts now. That's the meaning of the sphere. And why the shaper? Because when else are we doing the shaper? On the yoyim adin. Yoyim, at the end of 50 years, we will also all be facing the yoyim adin. But we'll have to give din b'chashdan. Did you spend your life properly? Did you count those years and make those years count? Or did you make yourself all too comfortable here in Olam Hazeh? All too busy with things that actually weren't so important. You invested your time and your energy and your money and your thought process into things that are not permanent and are not important. Or did you invest your energy into things that are important? Because remember, fields, homes, slaves are all temporary. That's the message of the Shaper. When I was in Yeshiva, I heard the following moshel. Maybe it's a comical moshel. It's a profound moshel. And the moshel is told of this professor, a great academic from a university, who's merrily rowing down the river in little boats with a very uncultured, uneducated, tough, sturdy farmer. A very interesting couple, interesting friends over here at Swansea. Intellectual lecturer in university, and here the uncultured farmer. And they're sailing merrily down the river, and all of a sudden the professor says to the farmer, "Wow, look at that!" And he looks up, he says, "Oh, well, that house? House. Oh, the house? Looks like a house to me, it's got walls on it." He says, "Don't you see the architecture of that thing?" He looks up straight back. He says, "That's a very, very rare architectural structure." He says, "Do you not have any appreciation for architecture?" "Not really." He says, "Well, I'm sorry to tell you," he says to the farmer, "that's 10% of your life gone." "Okay, it's 90% left." They continue down the river, and all of a sudden the professor says, "Wow, listen to that!" He listens and he says to the farmer, "Oh yeah, I can hear some noise in the back." "Noise? That's the Philharmonic Orchestra playing the most wonderful symphony. You call that noise?" He says, "Well, it sounds like a bit of noise to me." He says, "Do you have no appreciation for classical music?" "Not really." "That's another 10% of your life gone," he says. And this continues onwards. And the next time it's most magnificent plants, which the farmer doesn't understand about. "You don't understand botany? Another 10% of your life gone." All of a sudden, there's an enormous racket in the river, and the whole boat overturns. This farmer, strong, tough, solid, pulling his weight.
Why do they turn their bones off?
This farmer, experienced swimmer, he swims to safety, off to the riverbank, and he's fine. And meanwhile, he sees the professor. In his professor's suit and tie, flailing and flapping and waiting, "Help! Save me! Save me! Save me!" So the farmer yells over to him, says, "What do you say? Just swim to the side." He says, "But I can't swim," he says. He says, "Well, that's 100% of your life." The lesson which I heard, one of the remaining gates of Yeshiva, Chankar from Zeche Salik Livrocha. If you consider architecture and classical music and boxing for all wonderful pieces of your life, but you can't swim to save your own life, then what are those things worth? If you can't swim, then that's 100% of your life gone. Somebody told me he saw on the back of a car a bumper sticker. And he says, "The main thing is that the main thing is the main thing." In other words, sometimes we make things which are not the main thing into the main thing. And we get involved with pettiness. And we get over busy with things that have no consequence. Is there anything wrong with having a nice, respectful home? Of course there's not. But is that the ikka? Is that what we're consumed with? When something chas v'shalom breaks in our home, is that the end of the world? When we have a little squabble because somebody said something to me which wasn't quite what I wanted to hear and I'm not prepared to speak to them now, is that making the main thing into the main thing? Or is that making something which is very arrogant, very temporary, very unimportant into the main thing? Let me just conclude. Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, the great founder of the Chofetz Chaim, like his Rebbe, lived in a home that was very, very modest. And a friend of his, from out of town, somebody who had been together with him as a small boy in Cheder, came to visit Rabbi Chanan. He looks around his modest abode, barely a chair or a table, and he says to Rabbi Chanan, "We were together in Cheder, and I remember you. You were quite a bright kid. What's happened to you?" He says, "What do you mean?" He says, I'm a successful lawyer, and I put hard work, and I, Baruch Hashem, earned millions, and I look around, what's happened to you? Why didn't you invest your time into the same that I did?" And Rabbi Chanan didn't answer. At the end of his meeting, Rabbi Chanan says, "Come, I'll walk you out, I'll accompany you. I know you're on your way out of town to the train station. I'll accompany you to the train station." We get there and he looks up, where's his train? I said to them, and Connor says, no, I wouldn't get that train if I were you. Why not? So I just looked at the train, got these moving seats, very dark, unclean. It's not a pleasant train, but I saw on the other platform, brand new train, upholstered seats, fresh, bright. That's the train. I think it's much, much more comfortable than he says to Connor, I could take that train, but that doesn't take me to where I want to get to. Hold on, that's the answer to your question. I could have also invested my efforts. I could have also made millions, but it doesn't take me to the destination that I'm trying to get to. Into the main thing, we learn the lesson of the global, that things are temporary, not to make small things big and not to make big things small. Some of you may know, especially English contingents. My wife's grandfather, Jacobo Vitzi Chassadi de Brocha, was a rabbi of England and the Commonwealth, and he was the first rabbi actually to be appointed to the House of Lords in England. And in his very first speech, I have at home a book of all of his incredible speeches. On his first speech, his inauguration speech in the House of Lords, on that day, they were discussing a bill of immigration. Big point of discussion in the United Kingdom. A bill of immigration. As you can imagine, for and against, and it's going to work out. And my grandfather of Jacobovic said the following, and I quote, in the context of our debate on immigrants and refugees, he said to them, what are the lessons? This is the way Thomas Hockham looks at things. What are the lessons individually and nationally and internationally we can learn? And he said, this is it. Above all, to remember that we are all, each one of us, temporary residents on this planet, where we all have to live the art, learn the art of living together in harmony before our visa expires, and we are all called to migrate to another world. We're all immigrants. This is exactly what Prophet Sam said. Why don't I have furniture? Because I'm an immigrant. I'm on a journey. That's what Lord Swami was teaching. Why didn't I invest my time in becoming a millionaire? I could have done so, but that doesn't take me to the destination that I'm trying to reach. Our visa expires at the end of that metaphoric 50 years, and the countdown begins when we are born. The lesson of the Yovel is that nothing is permanent. Everything is temporary. Any Dovel Gashmi is by definition temporary. Those mitzvahs, those chasodim, those tzivos, those avodas hamidos, those are permanent. And if we live the life of kigerim, you are here on a sojourn, then toshovim atol, then you will one day be a permanent resident with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And just to bring this back to where we started, we're all trying to be mischazik. We're trying to avoid giving in to the Yetzer Hara of working out all the irrelevant details. We're trying to avoid giving in to the Yetzer Hara who wants us to slip into panic mode. We're trying to avoid giving in to somebody who's decided that we all have to eat Kabbal Shabbos 10 minutes early if that's not what's going to be mechazik me. That's what we're trying to avoid. What are we trying to do? We're trying to remind ourselves. Most of the people who passed away were young people. And ask the 45 families, ask the 750 people who are sitting shiva at the moment, and they will tell you that life is all too short. And it's not worth being petty. Life is too short for being petty. These families are now living and feeling in the most tragic way the lesson of the Yovel, that life is very temporary. And all of a sudden, our visa expires, and we're asked to migrate to another world. And we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why did this happen? Lomo. Do you know what the word Lomo means? Lomo doesn't mean why. Lama, for what purpose? What's the ma? Ma is 45. What is the purpose of these 45 families had to leave this world in such a painful way? They are the mokrim menuchasim, that their families are enduring in those difficult times. And it's up to us to make sure that none of them has to show and die without purpose. Because if that happens, and we are, that authority that the Rambam spoke about, if my reaction is that from now on I'm not going to go on crowded buses and that's my life changer, then these people left us for no purpose. But if our change is, if you know something, I had a recent argument with somebody. I'm going to give them a call and say, it's not important. It's not important. It's difficult for me to make this phone call, but I'm going to do it because I run the lesson of the year. I see that life is too short. If I'm going to make a conscious effort to not get so upset with pettiness because somebody didn't quite say the right thing to me, because somebody didn't invite me to their Shabbos, into their Bar Mitzvah, and I thought they would, because somebody looked at me the wrong way, did I get over upset when Chas V'Shalom the glass broke on the table? Is that really the end of the world? Ask these families if their glass broke. Does that matter to them? Yes, one has to be careful. Yes, one has to say the right thing. But we all slip up. And if we make the main thing into the main thing, then we'll have learned the lesson of the Yovel. We will live the life of the Chofetz Chaim. This feeling of we are visitors. As my grandfather said, we're waiting for our visas to expire. There is a count. There is a sphere. To be less busy with pettiness and make this very personal. This is a suggestion. This is not obviously a machayim. But we all perhaps are guilty in some way or another, whether it be with our spouse, with our friend, with our neighbor, whatever it may be. We get stuck into pettiness, into small things, but life is too short for small things. Ask these 45 families, that's what they'll tell you. If we'll make that effort, and like all our Veda Sashem, it's not a knee-jerk reaction. It needs conscious thought in a quiet room. Let me just try and be macabre on myself. There's somebody who upsets me from time to time. I'm going to work on myself to overlook that, because it's not important. There's something in my home that doesn't quite look the way it should. It bothers me. I'm going to work on myself that it shouldn't bother me. Because life is too short for pettiness. And if that happens, we don't justify, we don't rationalize, we don't explain the cheshbonness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but at least we can say that nobody passed away with no purpose. There was a purpose. Because we made a real change in our lives. We learned the lesson of the Yovel. We live the life of Gerim, of being temporary over here, of making the main thing into the main thing, to know what the 100% of life is, to know what the unimportant 10% are. And that's the case. When our visa expires and we migrate to the next world, we will come to the Ribbono Shel Olam and say that we really made the main thing into the main thing. May all the Chayim be near Rafur Shalema, be Zecha to Rafur Shalema. May all of these families be Zecha to Nechama Yisroel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, can be Menachem them. May we all be Zecha to only have the Surah Yisroel, Yeshua's, the Nechama Yisroel, and Simchas, until the ultimate Simcha of Mashiach, Zecheinu, may it be the Hira.
Because we didn't count the
Shabbat, we don't know what the other was saying. Yes, the mitzvah essentially doesn't apply in the original format, but when it did, the time of the Beis HaMikdash was the mitzvah of Sri. The reason why it doesn't apply now is because we've lost the Cheshbon. I'm trying to find the actual ideology, the Hashkafa behind the mitzvah as it appears in the text.
I'm not sure if you're going to be able to do that. Thank you.